It's good to be here. It's good to see everybody. I'm so excited about what I want to share this morning. And I just want to welcome all the first-time visitors from my side and my wife's side. It's good to see all of you here. It's wonderful to be here. And it's quite a chilly morning here in Vista, but nothing that will keep us away from listening to the words of Christ. I want to talk about a guy called Elijah this morning. And what happened in his life. There's some feedback on the mic. Can we just fix that, please? And I want to talk about him because I think it's something that God wants to settle with in the season that we're in. And it's something that God wanting us to see. And I want to talk about talking to God when we are suffering. Suffering, it's part of our lives. For those of you who don't think suffering is a part of our life, suffering is part of our life. It's something here that's here. It's here to stay. It's not going to go away. The only way that suffering will stop is one day when we meet Christ in heaven. But for now, all of us, we have different levels of suffering. Even if it's emotional torment or it's difficulty within our hearts, in our minds, our thinking patterns, our emotions, we all suffer. And that's the good news. The good news is we all suffer. I know preachers don't say it, but I'm going to say it. It's good news that everybody suffers. There's just this skewed view of God and of life that's not godly and it's not biblical. Show me one man in Scripture, one man of God in Scripture that did not suffer. They all suffered. But you know what? The glorious thing about their suffering is that they all overcame. They all overcame. It's like the Castle Lager advert. They stood the test of time. They all stood the test of time. You know? And we must talk about this morning. So I want to talk about a guy called Elijah. Now, just to give you some background, Elijah was a prophet living in Israel, and he had a difficult time in his life. But at one stage, there was a showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. About 450 prophets. It's showdown time. And so what Elijah tells them, look here, my brothers, if I can call you that, what I want you to do, I want you to get an offering right to your God, and I will get an offering right to my God. And I want you to dig a trench around my offering, and you have your offering, then you put wood there. And then what you do, you call on the name of your God, and then you ask God to consume your offering. And so now these 450 prophets of Baal, they start calling on the name of the Lord. God, please honor us with fire. Come down. Consume the offering, take the offering, take it, and nothing happens. And now Elijah starts mocking them. He says, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. I don't know. Don't you want to scream a bit louder? And so Scripture says that they scream from morning till noon. It was quite a long time. And after they scream, you know what? They start cutting themselves. And Scripture is so specific. Scripture says, as they cut themselves, the blood gushed out of them as they called on this God of them, and nothing happened. So Elijah said, okay, it's enough. It's enough. Stand back. What I want you to do, I want you to throw some water on my offering. Some more water. No, that's a little. Bring some more and some more. And then Elijah says, God, you know that I trust you. And to show these people that you do live, please consume my offering. And the fire comes, and then the fire hits their offering. It consumes everything. It even consumes the water. Scripture says it licked up the water. So now everybody falls on their face. They're worshiping God again. It's showdown time. We believe in God. And then Elijah says, look here. Just stop worshiping. Just get up. Catch all the prophets of Baal. Catch them. Do not let one of them get away. Elijah and his newly bewitched gang take all these prophets, they take him to this one river, and then they kill them all, cut them up into pieces. 450 prophets of Baal dies that day. Isn't that a cool story? That's a cool story, man. Now, that's a story that you can make a movie of. It's better than X-Men. It's better than the Green Hornet or Captain America. Now, that's a cool... I would like Hollywood to make a movie about David. Now, won't that be a cool movie? How he slays Goliath, all the fights that he had. I would like them to make movies about Elijah doing all the miracles. That. But now, that's a cool movie. And so, Ahab goes and there's drought. And Elijah prophesied that there will be drought. And then Elijah said, look at Ahab, the drought's going to stop now. And he sits in a way that you give birth. In those days, the ladies sat down with their heads between their knees and they gave birth like that. And he prayed. He prayed that the drought will stop and the rain would come. In other words, he gave birth. He gave birth to reign within his spirit. It's a picture of how he gave birth. Because he sends his servant seven times, go look, is the rain coming? Not yet, not yet. And then it drops, it hits. And as it hits, Ahab drives with his chariot, and then the hand of God is upon Elijah. And guess what? The man takes his robe between his legs, he pulls it up. Say, Boki says no whoop, and he starts running. Past the chariot. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He's got extra strength, some power. And he outruns the chariot. But now Ahab goes home and then he goes to his wife and her name is Jezebel. And then Ahab says, look here, Jez, my love. I have some bad news. Would you please want to sit down? I'll make you a cup of tea, but I have some bad news. Love, they killed all your prophets. Oh, how I would have loved to be a fly in Jezebel's home. She gets angry. She sends word out to Elijah. I'm coming for you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. Whatever happened to the prophets, it's going to happen to you. And I'm sending this message out to the whole of the land that there's a hit out on you. You know, Jezebel operates like the mafia. Capish, there's a hit out on the man. You're going to die today. Por favor. And you know how they operate when they kill you. They just put holy water on their heads and then everything's fine. So she's on a mission to kill the man. And then it happens. Elijah starts running. Through the consummation and the taking up of the offering by fire, outrunning a chariot, praying for rain in 7 years' drought, killing 450 prophets. I mean, the man operated in the supernatural. He starts running when he gets this message. And he says to God, I'll rather die. But then God supernaturally intervenes. I mean, an angel comes to him as he's running, and an angel tells him, look here, my brother, you're hungry? There's a cake on a stone being baked for you with a jar of water. Eat. So he eats. And then he runs again. While the supernatural is happening, he's running. He's running. And that's where we're taking our story now. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 9 to 18, there he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now They are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's the second question that God pops to him. What are you doing here, man? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king of Aram, also named Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the son of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to the prophet of Baal, and to those and whose mouths have not kissed him. What an interesting story. That a man that operates so powerfully within the power and the spirit of God starts running. And there's four things that happened in his life that I call the four dangerous D's for any person to have. The first D is dread, fear. When you and when we become fearful, we start running. The first thing that I notice in his life is the fact that he's fearful. The second thing, discouragement. The third one, he feels defeated. The fourth one, he became depressed. Depressed even to the point where he told God, if you read the preceding chapters, God, please take my life. I want to die. Now, I can't figure that out for him, but I can figure it out for myself. And that's why I know why God wants us to talk about this morning. And so, God confronts him with a question. God says, now, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, a lot of people think that God is asking Elijah, what is he doing in the cave? It's not about the cave. Because we can pop that same question to us, what are you doing here? The question, we call it, it's an existential question. It's a question about life. It's a question about why you're here on earth. It's not just about Elijah being in the cave hiding away. It's about why you're here on earth. Why have I called you? Did you notice this? Please notice this. It's not that as if Elijah did not hear God. He heard God. Because he talked with God. Now the reason that I'm here, they killed the prophets, they want to take my life, and there's so many people. God says, but you know, and I like the way God pops questions. It always seems like he's dispassionate. But what are you doing here? I know you're hearing my voice. I know you know that I'm here, but what are you doing here? Isn't it funny when we go through tough situations? We do hear God, but we don't understand him. We do see the hand of God, but we can't figure him out. And isn't it funny when we go to tough situations that God will always ask you the same question over and over again till you get it? What are you doing here? So, what drove Elijah to his spiritual depression? Number one, he looked at the wrong things. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at all the prophets dying. He looked at Israel that was in chaos. He looked at all the wrong things. The man was negative. And before I say anything about the man being negative, I can tell you it's so easy in today's life to get negative. It's so easy to look at the wrong things. Isn't it so? Isn't it so that we always look at the wrong things when times get tough? He looked at the wrong things, and when he looks at the wrong things, he hears God, but he's not listening in. He hears God. And this is the thing: when you're looking at the wrong things, you don't hear God. You're not listening to him. And I'll tell you how I figured this out in this man's life. Elijah's the man of the spectacular, hey? It's either the fire come down and consumes the offering, or he prays for rain, or he outruns a chariot. Hy kap sommer 450 mense op, jong. Die man speel nie. He doesn't play. He's a man of the spectacular. If 450 people need to die, they'll die by the hand of Elijah. I'm Elijah. You know, he's the man. And so God allows him to stand at this cave. You know what God does? God sends an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. God sends the fire. It's not in the. God sends a lot of spectacular things, but God is not in one of them. God's in the still small voice. Because Elijah is seeking, God, you must do something spectacular here now. Otherwise, I'm going to take my life. God, I'm going to die. God, and then God just speaks in the still small voice. Elijah, what are you doing here? And you know what? God speaks to you in your voice. God speaks to you in your voice, but we fail to recognize it because we look at the wrong things. If you're from America, God will say, Elijah, what are you doing here? If you're from Australia, God will say, Elijah, what are you doing here, mate? And if you're from South Africa, God will say, wat soek jy hier, my kind? But you know what? God won't speak in another voice to you. Hey, booty, what are you doing here? He won't say that to Tiny Jenny. Hey, booty. Hey, Cece. He'll speak to you in a voice. But we seek the spectacular because we look at the wrong things. You won't hear the voice of God if you're listening to the wrong things. Neither will I. It's the first L. He looked at the wrong things. The second L, he longed for the wrong things. He became selfish. He wanted God to justify him. He said, God, you must justify me. God, you must help me. God, just listen to me. Just listen to me, God. I know about the 450 prophets. God, I know about the rain that I prayed for. God, I know about you consuming the offering. God, I know all of that. But God, you must help me, God. Because God, this is about me. This is about Elijah, God. If you read the preceding chapters, he says, am I not better than my fathers? He actually thought that he was better than anybody else. Because he looked for the wrong things. He longed for the wrong things. He became selfish. It was about Elijah and his ministry. It was about being in that place of self-pity. Have you ever noticed when you feel sorry for yourself, how everything is about yourself? Isn't that true? When you feel sorry for yourself, everything is about yourself. A place of pity. And I don't know if you've noticed it. When you do have self-pity, God ignores you. I don't know if you've had that experience. When you're in that corner and you feel sorry for yourself, then you don't hear God. It's like God is doing an ich. You know, speak to the hand, man. You know why God ignores people that feel sorry for themselves? You know why? Because God looks at you and God sees you as somebody that can conquer. So he doesn't understand the language of a loser, because he does not create losers. He does not create negative people. I call it negative. I'm a negative ninja. God does not create negative ninjas. And so we long for the wrong things. And then the other thing, he lied. He lied about the truth. If you read the preceding chapters, there was another chap called Obadiah. He hid some of the prophets in a cave that did not bow down to Baal. And he took water to them. And he told Elijah that. But did you see what Elijah told God? I'm alone. Nobody's with me. I'm alone fighting for you. He lied. Isn't it so when we go through tough times, we lie to God and we lie to ourselves? Isn't it so, ladies and gents? It's very easy to lie to yourself because you can believe your lies. I mean, it's easy to look into the mirror and say, oh, you're a sexy man. And then you believe yourself, here I am, man. When you're not. That was a joke. But you know where I'm getting at? At the fact it's so easy just to lie to yourself and then you believe. He lied. He lied about the truth. That was not the truth. So, you know what? Can I say this? I've seen it in my life. It's actually a pattern in within our lives. When things get tough, we lie. Interesting article or book that I read about 7 levels of lying. I never knew 7 levels of lying existed, you know, but there's 7 levels of lying. It's like you lie, then you have to lie to protect a lie. And then after that, it becomes a pattern in your life just to lie about it. And then after that pattern, you actually create ways of lying. And after you've created ways of lying, it becomes a habit. Do you understand now why God is saying, what are you doing here? Do you understand why God is saying to you the second time, what are you doing here? As if God does not know that he's lying. Isn't it so that we feel that we can fool God? You can fool some people sometime. You can't fool all the people all the time, and you certainly cannot fool God. Nor can I. Because he looks at the intents of the heart. So, how does God confront him? God challenged, number one, his perceptions. God challenged his perceptions. And this is important. God can speak in moves in ways we don't know, and it's not known to us. Elijah wanted to hear God in a specific way. Elijah wanted God to operate in a specific style. He wanted God to operate in the style of the spectacular. He wanted God to operate in the style of miracles. But this time, God operated with a still small voice. God said, you better change your perceptions about me, otherwise we're going to miss one another, my brother. I know everything looks dark, but listen to the still small voice. Don't look for the spectacular. Don't look for the earthquake. Don't look for the fire. Don't look for the thunder. Listen to the still small voice. He had to change his perception about God. He had to change his perception about the fact that God does not feel sorry for people that feel sorry for themselves. The second thing God challenged his intentions. Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah, why are you doing what you're doing? What are you doing? Why do you do what you do? Why are you a doctor? Why are you a prophet? Why are you a student? Why are you a pastor? What are you doing here? Why do you do what you're doing? His intentions. And the man's intentions was quite selfish at that stage. Isn't it so? Isn't it so when we go through tough times, it's about us? So God challenged these intentions, and then God challenged his deception. God told him, look here, there's 7,000 in Israel that never bowed to Baal. Did you get that in that last piece? Just like the last part of the scripture reading that we had this morning. I wish we can spend time. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. So God just said, look here, my brother, you're deceived. You think you're alone, but you're not alone. You're not alone, Elijah. You're conjuring up stuff. It's like negativity and self-pity. They're like drugs. And you know what happens when we're negative? You know what happens when we only look? We start to hallucinate. We think up things that's not there. God says, look here, I have a remnant that can help you. So God challenges deception. You can come this morning, David. You and the band, you can come. We're going to finish this thing off. God is speaking this morning. If you can flat that last slide, please. No. God is speaking to us about our humanistic approach when we want to connect with him in difficult times. Albert Einstein, maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But he had an interesting quote. They asked Albert Einstein, what's the definition of insanity? So Albert said, insanity is when you do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity. You try to do the same things over and over again. Oh God, please send another earthquake. God, send another fire. God, ooh, spectacular, spectacular, and you want different results. And God says, no, change your perception about me. Sometimes I'm about the still small voice. God is challenging us this morning. We better change our perception of him. Maybe you're in a difficult, tough, tight spot. And you're expecting God to speak to you in a specific way that you're used to. But he's not going to. I can tell you that. These are the last days. God will speak in ways that we won't even think of. God will even use sinners to speak to you. You know, like our brother in the Old Testament, where the donkey spoke to him. God will even use a donkey to speak to us. And this is my message this morning. I know we're all in a tight spot. I know we're all going through tough situations. I know all of us, we have difficult circumstances. That doesn't mean that you're alone. It doesn't mean that God does not speak. It just means that you're not listening to him. You're not listening to him. We are not listening to him. He's speaking loud and clearly, loud as a bell, he's speaking. But when he speaks loud, he speaks soft with a still small voice. And some of us, we're looking for so many other things and we're not listening because we're looking for the wrong things. We're longing and we're lying to ourselves. We must stop that. In the midst of your hell, Christ is there. In the midst of your loneliness, that loneliness when you long for your parents, that loneliness when you long for a companion, when you're sitting there all alone, he speaks. And all of us, we have a cave. Is it Isuini or is it Amalekrot? We all have a cave that we run to. We go hide in our cave. And we say, God, why is this happening to me? God, I don't understand. God, God. And And it's like if God is just repeating this message to us, God is saying, what are you doing here? Can we read the last part of that scripture again? I just want us to go there. I want you to see this. Go back. Go back. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. It's like God has a, it's like when we're ready to listen, God has a plan. Man, he has a plan. You go back. You anoint this man and this man and this man. And I just go on. And don't worry. If somebody escaped that guy's sword, that guy will take him out. And if he escapes that guy will take him out. I've got your back. Sorry. Yet I reserved even 7. There's a remnant that was wanting to fight with you. And so God is into this place of success in management where people can help us, stand with us, stand in faith with us. There's people, some of us here this morning have closed our heart to the love of people. I want you to be honest this morning. There's people around you that really wants to love you. You know who you are here this morning. You're building an empire where it's only you and your family. And nobody is allowed to get close to our hearts. And all God is wanting to say this morning, there's people around you that loves you. I have 7,000 people stashed away for you, man. There's people there that really wants to help us. The fact is we're not seeing them because we're looking at the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong CVs. Some of us must just move some of our friends. That's bad business for us. Just move your friends. Just tell them, look, you're not good news for me. You know I like you. You know I love you. I don't know how you feel about me, but you're bad news. And you always drop me at critical times. So would you just please give me space? I don't hate you, but I'm just going to move you. Move them. And then all the 7,000 that stash the way that you see, they do care for you. They do love you. Take them and say, now you come closer. But until then, if we don't come to that place where we realize that we're expecting God to speak to us in ways that will satisfy our souls, we will not hear God. Go to the last slide again about the humanistic approach. Our humanistic approach when we want to connect with God in difficult times. I can tell you now, if you're not hearing God, it's not because He's not speaking. Speaking as loud as a bell. What are you doing here? I just love the way your God spoke into Elijah's life about his calling there. You still have a calling on your life, man. You need to anoint some people and they will take out Jezebel. That's the anointing on your life. And he's one of the few in scripture that did not die. He was actually taken up with a chariot of fire before he died. The other guy was Enoch. And then the other guy was Moses, who died in a mountain. And if you read the book of Jude, the devil and Gabriel, the archangel, they had a dispute over Moses' body. Where the angel said, over my dead body, you're not taking my brother. And Satan said, no, I'm taking him. And they had that cat fight there. And we know who prevailed. Taking Moses with him. Gabriel. What are you doing here? Not in the church this morning, you know. I'm not talking about the church. What are you doing here? Are you hearing God speaking to you loud as a bell? Let's stand. Father, we repent this morning. Of just having such a selfish, humanistic approach coming towards you. We repent, God, of not hearing your voice because we're thinking of ourselves and we're thinking of ways in serving ourselves. It's so wrong. But God, there's ways that you're speaking to us and you're wanting to open up our ears. You're wanting to open up our hearts and you're wanting to open up our eyes to see you and to hear you. God, we all of us, we're in tough situations. We have to make tough choices. But God, what we're learning this morning, myself included, that even if you don't speak, the best place to be is to be with you. Even if we don't hear you, the best place to be is to be with you. But God, we want to change our perception of how we listen to you. Father, and some of us this morning have been doing things the same way over and over and over again, and we expect different results, but the results are not coming. Heal us from our insanity, God. Heal us from our emotional turmoil if these things become difficult.